Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to talk about the prophetic ministry again. Last week, I cracked it open and I asked a question. And that question was, does God speak today? And if he does, how does he speak? And of course, we answered that with a yes, he does speak today. And he speaks in four different ways at least. You know, he speaks through his word, he speaks through pictures, he speaks through feelings, and he speaks finally through words, plural. So, you know, at least four different ways. There are other ways I think God speaks, but we cracked it open with that. So today I want to ask the next question, and that is, how do I receive a word? How do I receive a word, especially a prophetic word that's given to me? How do I receive that? And I'm going to give you some guidelines to that. However, I want to lay the foundation first and kind of pave a way for us to set the context for this, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's read verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Listen, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let them keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Did you hear that? For you can all prophesy. That's what I'm hearing. Did you know that was in the Bible? For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Can we say amen? We are a church that believes in the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit did not pass away with the apostles. They did not pass away after the establishing of the New Testament church or after the canon of the New Testament was formed, as some believe. They are still in operation today, and they will be in operation until Jesus returns. Amen? We need the gifts now. We need the gifts in our church, in our lives now. You know, Ephesians 4 lays out five different ministry gifts, and they're the ministry gifts of Christ. I talked about them last week, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But today I want to dig into 1 Corinthians, which lays out nine spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit. The Greek term used here is charismata. It's where we get the word charismatic from, okay? And the root of charismata is charis, which is the word for grace. So the gifts are really just droplets of God's grace given to us to be able to minister to other people. Amen? So we're a church that believes in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit. If we don't move in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, then we're probably just operating out of head knowledge. And we just have like a head church. We're just, you know, out of the... But when we get to the Holy Spirit gifts, then we have a supernatural church. Because the gifts get down and minister to us, and God knows the hearts of each person, and he gets down and ministers to us on a deeper level than we can just intellectually talk to each other on. Can somebody shout amen? So I'm going to use three pictures this morning, just word pictures, to teach this. The first is a door. The second is a piece of conduit or pipe. And the third is a shelf, like a bookshelf. Okay? So picture those three things in your mind. First, a door. Secondly, a piece of conduit or pipe. And then thirdly, a shelf. Okay? So let's start with these. And y'all give me some time, and I think you're going to be blessed by this. The first is a door. The way into all of the gifts of the Spirit and the whole moving of the fullness of the Spirit is to open the door to the person of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to come in. Allow him to come into your life. Allow him to come into the church. Allow him to come into your home. Allow him to come into your prayer times. Open the door to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because God's Spirit is for everyone in this building and everyone watching online. He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, the Bible says. Amen? So the Spirit of God isn't just for a few select people or some people who God has chosen as the select ones. No, Holy Spirit's for everybody. Raise your hand and say, I'm a candidate. And the Holy Spirit comes, and when He comes, He has a mission. When He comes, the first part of His mission is to lead us into truth. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will lead you into truth. He will speak of Me and not of Himself. So when the Spirit comes, He leads us to truth. He illuminates the Scriptures to us, and He also lets us know when someone's speaking truth or not. If you listen, the Holy Spirit is living in you, and if you listen to someone speak, and they are speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking truth, it rings a bell in your spirit. You know this is right. And the vice versa is correct as well. When someone is speaking incorrectly or speaking falsehood, you know something's not right in your spirit. You just know it because the Holy Spirit is not resonating with that. Okay. Second thing the Holy Spirit comes to do is He comes to bring power for ministry. The Spirit comes to bring power for ministry. Look at the example of the life of Jesus. When Jesus went to the River Jordan and was baptized, the Bible said the Spirit descended upon Him, Luke says, in bodily form as a dove. And it set upon Him. And before that time, Jesus had done no supernatural ministry that we know of. After He was touched by the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Spirit came upon Him, the Bible says He came out of the water and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He overcame those temptations, and then He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then He goes back to His hometown of Nazareth, goes to synagogue, opens up the scroll of Isaiah and reads it, and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me." Filled with the Spirit, came out in the power of the Spirit. Now He said, "The Spirit's upon Me." And then what did He do? He walked into the synagogue. In the book of Mark, He casts out demons. He walks up to a lame man, says, "Take up your bed and walk." Blind Bartimaeus cries out His name. He goes back and says, "You're free, man, go." Blind heal, blind can see, deaf can hear, dead are raised, 5,000 are fed, seas and storms are calmed. I mean, all of this after He was filled, after He opened the door to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that in your life, you're going to go to a new level in power for ministry. Okay, third thing the Spirit comes to do is to bring the gifts. He brings all the gifts with Him. And when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, the gifts come with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says there's 9 spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 says there's 5 ministry gifts. Those ministry gifts I look at as offices. There's an office of a prophet. There's an office of a pastor, office of an evangelist, and so forth. But when the spiritual gifts come, the spiritual gifts can move through anybody whom God wills. And they move as God needs them in people's lives. As He needs to touch someone, the Spirit comes and moves. So any of you can prophesy if God so has you prophesy. Any of you can move in the gift of faith. Any of you can move in the gift of knowledge as God so allows that to happen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And if we don't practice this now, when are we going to do it? We're not going to need it when we get to heaven. We're not going to need the gifts of healing when we get to heaven because everyone's going to be healed. We're not going to need the gift of the word of knowledge in heaven because we're going to know as we are known, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, which I believe means we're going to have perfect knowledge. We're not going to need to prophesy in heaven because I think time's going to be thrown away. We need the prophetic now that helps us with the future and helps us guide our way along. Can somebody shout amen? So come on, say now. Now's the time for the gifts. Lord, use me in them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is an order, though. Let's get into this. So there's the door. You need to open the door to the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the conduit or pipe. That represents you and I. Because God has, for some strange reason, chosen to use a middleman. God has chosen to use people to communicate His truth and to communicate, if I could put it that way, the gifts of the Spirit. He's chosen to use you and I, fallible human beings. He's chosen to use you and I. Now, He can speak directly and pour out what He wants to directly on us. Amen. But He also has chosen to use a middleman to communicate the gifts of the Spirit. So guess what? If God wants to prophesy, He's going to use you to do it. If He wants to give a word of knowledge, He's going to give it to you. And all of the gifts come for the benefit of all, Paul said. They come to bless other people. So I'm telling you what, don't quench the Spirit, because God wants to use you to bless some folks. He wants to use you to minister to some people. And I think in Pentecostal circles, we've had a misconception about this sometimes, that we've thought, you know, well, if God uses someone, He's not going to talk like Hans talks. I mean, Hans has this Appalachian accent, and, you know, H. Richard Hall, who we were ordained under for years, and my wife really grew up under, I tell a lot of stories about him, but he said that his organist came up to him one day and said, "Brother Hall," they were at some country church, and said, "Brother Hall, this woman gave a prophetic word in service, and she was saying over yonder, and it ain't going to happen." And he said, "Brother Hall, God doesn't talk like that. I'm sorry." And Brother Hall looked back at him and said, "He talks just like you talk. If it's incorrect English, it's going to come out in incorrect English. I mean, God's going to use you. You are the conduit of the Spirit. And it's going to come out in your accent, and it's going to come out with your personality." Can somebody shout amen? But we've had this idea that, you know, no one can miss it, and no, you know, everything's perfect, and God's going to speak in King James English. Well, He doesn't all the time speak in King James English. Amen? And sometimes people miss it. That's why there has to be a judging of the prophetic gift. He said, "Let two or three prophesy, and let the folks over here sit and judge it." Why did He even put that in the Bible? Because some people miss it. There's to be a judging. And then John said, "Try the spirits, see if they're of God." Why? Because not every spirit is of God, and some folks come in to deceive. We are the conduit of the Spirit, and we need to understand that, man. God is going to use you and I to communicate the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, there's a beautiful order in the way God does things. It's like the gift of tongues. I believe there's two different things happening with tongues. Number one is a prayer language you receive with the coming of the Holy Spirit that's yours, you can pray in. That's given to everybody. Why? Because Mark 16 said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in My name that shall speak with new tongues." It follows the believers. Number two, though, there's a congregational gift of tongues that's a message given to the body. And when someone is speaking in that, we all should shut up and be quiet. And then that message should be interpreted in the congregational setting. However, I often worship in my prayer language because it's a language of prayer and praise. And so I'm worshiping in tongues a lot during the church service. Now, it would be out of order if I came and took over and shut you all down because I'm up here speaking so loudly in tongues you can't hear yourself think. Yet there are sometimes, since I'm conducting the services, there's sometimes I feel to pray in the Holy Ghost in the microphone, and I'm not afraid of that. If I feel it's God, I'm free, man. I want to be free. Amen? Some people are so tight and so tied up, and you're so starched, you can't have any movement of the Holy Ghost because it's all about order. There is an order, but you got to get free, and you got to get out of that spirit of religion to get free. Oh, hallelujah. Did I just say that in church? So last week I gave a word to Nikki. I saw a picture of her prophetically, and so I just shared it with her. But before that, I guess I was praying in tongues. And so she contacted me later and said the word was really good and it confirmed with her. But she said, I went back and watched the service later online. And she said, I didn't know you were praying in tongues because I heard it all in English. And it was a message to her. And she said, I've heard about that my whole life, but had never seen it happen. You know, that's happened a lot in the history of Pentecost. Dr. Vincent Sina told a story of an old country preacher who would get up and he'd preach a few lines in English and pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. He'd preach a few lines in English and pray in tongues a little bit. And he said, you know, people are like, why are you doing that? Well, lo and behold, there was a Polish guy who had come into the service. And every time that pastor went off and fired off in tongues, he was getting it in perfect Polish. And he was getting this: Jesus is for Polish people too. Come on, we think we have God figured out sometimes. I can guarantee you we don't have Him all figured out. He comes and does stuff that blows my mind sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hand and say, I am the conduit. I'm the one God's going to use, and God's going to use you by grace and by love. Why? Because the root of the gifts are grace, and then they work by love. You see, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, the next chapter is 1 Corinthians 13, then the next chapter is 1 Corinthians 14. Well, 12 and 14 are all about the gifts and the order of the gifts. But then chapter 13 is lodged right in the center of these. And what's 1 Corinthians 13 about? It's about love. Love is patient, love is kind, all that. We quote it at almost every wedding I perform. It's the love chapter. Why is that? Was Paul like having an ADD moment and just went off? I just think I'm going to write about it. No, it's all in context. What he's saying is, he talks about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and then at the end, the last verse, he says, now I show you a more excellent way. And what's the more excellent way? The way of love. And then he lays out all the love stuff. Then he comes back to the gifts in 14. So when you operate in the spiritual gifts, it should be out of the love of God. It's God's love being poured out on other people so they can be ministered to at a supernatural level, not just a natural level. Second thing about them is they operate by grace. That means you don't have to work or get a master's degree in spiritual gifts to be able to flow in the gifts. They operate by grace. Now, funny thing about that is, that means someone can possibly, yes, operate in spiritual gifts and have sin in their lives. Listen to me, hear me out on this. Because that gift is operating by grace and faith. But if that person has gross sin in their life, God will allow it, I think, for a period to try to get them to repent. And if they don't repent, He'll pull the covers off and expose it out of judgment to bring them back to His heart of love. We've seen this happen nationally with many ministers. They were leading thousands to Christ, praying in the Holy Ghost, but yet had gross sin in their lives, and God allowed it for a period until He said, now it's enough. And we're going to bring judgment on this. So I'm telling you, some people get all uptight because they visit a Pentecostal church and they see someone they work with who might be kind of a jerk. And they're shouting and dancing with the rest of them. Well, everybody in the Pentecostal church isn't perfect. Believe it or not. We're not perfect, but we have learned by grace and faith how to operate in the gifts. However, gifts flow. Say that with me, gifts flow. But fruit grows. What we need to be doing is cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Patience and love and long, you know, all those things. And those things take time. If you've ever grown a fruit tree, I've been working on one for about 10 years and it's never produced fruit. There's something bad wrong with it. But nonetheless, I realize it takes a long time to produce good fruit. That's what we should be after, is really both and, not either or. We should be for both moving in the gifts by grace and cultivating the fruits of the Spirit in our lives so we can operate at a supernatural level with holiness in our hearts.
Because once you get holiness in your heart, then you're going to go to the next level in operating in spiritual gifts. You're no longer going to be a child operating in them, but you're going to be a mature minister of God. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Okay, the final thing is the shelf. So we have the door. We have to open to the fullness of the Spirit. You have the conduit. You have to realize God is using regular people to communicate His gifts. And the final thing is a shelf. Just imagine a bookshelf. And what do we do on bookshelves? Well, we sometimes store books. I was taught this about the prophetic ministry, and let me explain myself, okay? I think when you receive a prophetic word, there's some steps you need to go through to judge that word. And I'm going to lead you through those. But you got to keep in your mind the whole time the shelf. There's some things you just have to put on the shelf. You just have to file it and put it on the shelf. And I'll explain that, okay? Let me give you some steps of receiving a prophetic word. Number one, when you receive a prophetic word, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? If it does, praise God. Check number one. If it doesn't, throw it out. Okay? If someone comes and tells you, I'm Joseph Smith, and I've received another revelation on top of Scripture, throw it out. If someone tells you, my name is David Koresh, and I am the Messiah, and I live in Waco, Texas, no, you throw it out. If someone tells you, you need to divorce your husband and marry me, you need to throw it out and run. Come on, some people have justified immorality through the prophetic. That ain't right. Does it line up with the Word? Does it line up? You say, well, how am I supposed to know that? I don't know the Bible. Step, the precursor, what is it, what prerequisite? Read the Bible. Get to know the Bible. Okay, step number one, does it line up with the Word? Number two, does it line up with your spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's living in you. And when someone shares a prophetic word with you, you know, it might be stretching you. Hopefully it will stretch your faith and stretch you out there, but it shouldn't go contrary to the spirit that's in you. Someone prophesied over my wife in a tent meeting one night, and this was before we were married, and they said, the Lord says He's dealing with you and your husband. First of all, she didn't have a husband. Then He said, you're dealing in drugs. And there's cocaine in the back of your car. And went on with this ridiculous bunch of stuff. And the guy's like, isn't that right? And Jackie says, no. Right in church. You know, you need some hard nose sometimes. No, that is not right, bro. You're off, man. Does it resonate with your spirit? So again, back to H. Richard Hall. He said someone came up to him one time and said, Brother Hall, the Lord has shown me that you're going to be going to Africa and preaching the gospel. He said, ma'am, you must have heard Paul or something because you got it wrong because I have no desire to go to Africa. This is not right. People try to get you, you know, they can manipulate you. The spirit of Jezebel, they can manipulate you through the prophetic. Don't do that. Does it resonate with your spirit? Does it align with the Word of God? Does it resonate with your spirit? And then you have to receive or reject it. And I would recommend doing it verbally. Often when I receive a prophetic word or somebody's prophesying over me, I'll just be like, Lord, I receive this. It's resonating with me. I feel the witness of the Spirit. I'm like, Lord, I receive it. Or I go back later and listen to it or read it if it's written down. Lord, I receive this in Jesus' name. Or, no, I reject this thing. I reject it. Because I had something spoken over me a while back, and I was with a great apostle of God, and this person had heard what was spoken over me, and they said, you know that one thing that was on you that was spoken over you, Hans? I'm gonna break that off you right now in Jesus' name. Go. He like did karate chops over me. And I was like, thank you. I don't want to take on something. I know I'm speaking, I'm getting out there. I don't want to take on something that isn't God. That is someone's opinion or take on me. I'm to judge. You're to judge. All right? Does it align with the Word? Does it align with your spirit? Receive it or reject it. Fourth thing is, then once you receive a word, allow that thing to build your faith. You remember what Paul told Timothy last week? I talked about it, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, now you wage a good warfare based on the prophetic words that were spoken to you. So you take those words and you let them build your faith. Maybe it's stretching you out there in something. Let those words build your faith and go back to them on occasion and let the words build your faith. But the final thing is, then take it and put it on the shelf. You receive it, praise God, then take it and put it on the shelf. So many people get messed up because, number one, they try to interpret this word and figure out how it's going to happen. And number two, we get messed up when we try to figure out the time frame in which it will happen. I mean, some words people give have time frames to them. That's just plain. But I'm talking otherwise. You know, you get a basic word. Like I told y'all last week, I had a word in, you know, the 1990s about the kind of church I would pastor. Well, there was no time stamp on that. And then I often tried to figure out, would that thing happen? How's it going to happen? You know, and I could have driven myself crazy over it. But you know what I did? I put it on the shelf. Doesn't mean I rejected it. It doesn't mean I didn't believe it. It doesn't mean I didn't go to it from time to time and pull it out. But I just put it on the shelf and let God do His thing. Because some people all get off when they try to lead their lives through a prophetic word that's been given to them. They build our faith, they illuminate, they encourage us, they comfort us, they edify us and all that. But I'm going to live my life through the Word of God. I'm going to live my life through prayer and living a life of holiness. I'm going to live my life the best I can to obey the voice of the Spirit speaking to me. If I get a prophetic word, it's icing on the cake. It's a confirmation of what God's doing in my life. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to be more word people than anything, I think, don't you? Well, word and spirit. Come on, we need to have it down in our heart that this is who I am in Christ. I am the first, I'm the head, not the tail. God's going to bless me going in and coming out. God's going to bless me in the field. He's going to bless me in the city. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all of my need. He is my Jehovah Jireh. Come on, get deep in the word so that no matter what you go through, the word is in your heart and the word is coming out of your mouth. And when you begin to doubt, you fall back on the word. When you go through a problem, you fall back on the word. When you hear a prophetic gift being given, you interpret it through the lenses of the word. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody put your hands together. Give him a praise. Yes, somebody shout amen. Amen. Get full of the Holy Ghost and grounded in the word. And then open the door and let the gifts flow, man. Let the gifts flow, because I think once they're flowing out of that context, oh, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's huge. Amen? So this gift of prophecy comes, according to Paul, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So if someone comes bringing prophetic ministry, and it's to tear down, or it's to divide, or it's to take us away from the Word, or take us away from Christ, it's not God. And also, there's a proper order to these things. Paul said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So there's a time that prophetic word can be given. If you give a prophetic word while I'm preaching, I will more than likely set you down because it's not right. If you try to interrupt me even speaking in tongues while I'm preaching, I'll probably set you down because it's not right. There's an order to what we're doing here, unless I feel that God's moving that way. And what we ask is that people go through a protocol. If you have a prophetic word you feel like God's given, find one of my pastors here or one of our prayer leaders and go to them and say, I have this thing, and then they can kind of flag me down. And then it's out of your hands. If I allow that word to be given in service, so be it. If I don't, it's on me. Because and you're free in Jesus' name. But sometimes I've done that. I've done that many times. People have come up with a word, and I'm just being like, it's not time for it. God's doing something else right now. Well, wasn't that from God? I don't know. It might have been, but I just think God wants order in His house. I mean, I'm a Pentecostal shouting, dancing guy. You know, y'all know that. But God wants an order in His house. And when we have an order in His house, then He's going to move at another level. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So what about all these election prophecies? Because there's been a lot of stuff prophesied about the election, and it got really, it got to a level I've never seen it in my lifetime. And here's all I can say. I'm going to say two things, and I'm not going to dwell on this long, because I don't know. I'm not going to speak what I don't know. I don't want to get into stuff I don't know. Number one, some guys missed it horribly, and they need to apologize publicly. Why are you saying that, Hans? Because I'm telling you, I heard guys that had dreams and they were declaring that Chinese troops were going to be marching in the streets of D.C. in November of 2020. Put a time on it. Wrong. Missed it horribly. Let's wake up and listen to the voice of truth. This is wrong. And what was happening, so many people were caught up with this. We had to pray with people and answer questions. People torn all to pieces over prophetic words they were listening to that weren't coming to pass. And it messed some people's faith up. Come on, man. We are to be involved in politics, but politics isn't our arena, church. You get your head in that, you get it out of the kingdom, and it's dangerous. Come on, the old holiness people, we got to the altar and we prayed and we sought God. Come on, there was power and there was fire and there were miracles in our midst. Come on, somebody. Well, I didn't... Some things I want to pull back, but anyhow. Number two, there have been other words given that the prophetic people say will happen in the future. You know what we're going to do with those? I'm going to take them over here. I'm going to put them on the shelf. Some people have been saying there's some stuff going to happen by March. What do you think about it, Brother Hans? I'm going to put it on the shelf and wait till March comes. I mean, duh. I don't know any more than that. That's what I have to do. But I am very cautious in using the term false prophet for people. Because there's some great men and women of God out there who are prophetically speaking some things, and I think they're in a different office than I walk in. And I'm waiting to see if what they say comes to pass. That's where I'm at. I got one dear friend named Kent Christmas, and Kent is the real deal. I've been in his house. They received me. He cried with me. He flew out to pray for my wife. We're covenant brothers, and he's the real deal, man. And so he's encouraged a lot of people, and God is really blowing up their church right now. But they've tripled, I think, since December. And he's called me, he's the real deal. And, you know, a lot of you have been encouraged by his ministry. And I just say, hey, you know, I haven't watched all that stuff, and I don't know what everyone said, nor do I know everything that Kent said, but all I'm saying is put it on the shelf. And some of these other guys that missed it, I don't even call them false prophets, because they're, you know what a false prophet is? A false prophet's somebody riding up and down the road on a bicycle telling me that Jesus isn't God. Some people knocking on my door on Saturday telling me Jesus is a demigod. And he's, you know, those are false prophets. That's a blatant false prophet leading you away from Christ. But people who may, there may be some godly people with the right intent and great character who miss it sometimes. And guess what? That'll happen. That'll happen. That would be inaccuracy. It wouldn't be false. I hope y'all receive what I'm saying, because I believe in the prophets of God, and I want to be cautious what I say about the prophetic movement. Amen. Because what's happened is when some of this stuff didn't come down the way some of these guys said, then some people came back and just said, "See, this stuff isn't real." Because we don't need to go there. That's why I've been trying to build you up for 2 weeks about the spiritual gifts. Man, we need more of the prophetic in church. But we need accountability, and we need to understand the order of it in our midst. Can somebody shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. Are you still breathing now? Could take a deep breath and somebody just give me a wave out there that you're alive. I'm wrestling with it, though, as a pastor and trying to, you know, minister to people who are hurting and who are their face shaken and because of COVID and then different things that happened last year. And we're like, hey, man, no, you hang on to God. God is still going to perform his word. And if there's prophetic words out there for the future, we put them on the shelf and we just say, hey, God, we'll let those encourage our faith and we'll see what you're going to do about it. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that he has for your life.